Amen. Your kingdom come, your will be done. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Sue Shank. I'm the part-time communication coordinator here at Grace Covenant, and I'm also married to Merle Shank, our lead pastor. He, as we speak, last Sunday we had the joy of watching our third son graduate from college. Three down, one to go. Woo! And Merle and I have started this kind of tradition with our kids. We said when each of them graduate from college that the boys get to go on a father-son trip with Merle, and my daughter gets to go on a mother-daughter trip with me. So Merle's on the last father-son trip, and I've waited a long time for this, so three more years, and Caroline and I are going to go on a mother-daughter trip when she graduates. So Merle is on his way back with Evan from that trip, and they've had a great week. Is there anybody here, if you have not been with us before or in the past couple weeks, who has not gotten a prayer challenge card? I actually left mine at home. They're a list of about 26, 27 things that we're asking you to challenge yourself with over this series. Is there anybody here who did not get one and that would like one, if you just raise your hand? Okay, there's a couple of people. We're not going to check up on these. You're not turning them in. It's just a great way for you to challenge yourself in the area of prayer. One of my challenges, that it's sort of a little bit different of one of the ones that's listed on there, but it's amazing how when I get in the car, my first response is I turn on the radio, and it's either news or it's music. And so I've just kept the radio off, and I've just been praying. And it sounds so small, but sometimes it's a challenge for me because I'm just used to the noise. And so take those cards, ask the Lord, how do you want me to challenge myself during this series in my prayer life? Okay, we are in week three of our series called Teach Us to Pray. Teach Us to Pray. It's based on Luke 11, verse 1, where it says, "One of the disciples said to him," meaning Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." And it's interesting because we don't know, there's nowhere in Scripture that talks about how did John teach his disciples to pray. You know, I'm reading through that and I'm like, okay, I wonder what John said. We don't know. But apparently he taught something, and this disciple is saying, you know, teach us to pray just as John also taught his disciples. And so the disciples, or at least this one in particular, he saw something and probably heard something different in the way that Jesus prayed, and he wanted to learn. One commentator even suggested that this wasn't necessarily so much a how-to prayer, but a want-to. Jesus, give us the want-to pray. It's interesting that they didn't ask to be taught about Bible study. They didn't ask to be taught about miracles, about fasting, about scripture memorization. They asked, teach us, Lord, to pray. And so Jesus starts out by praying, when you pray. He doesn't say, if you pray, you know, if you feel like it, when you pray. He's assuming that as followers of Christ, we are praying, that is a part of our life, when you pray. And then he proceeds to teach them the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, let's just say this together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Right before these verses, Jesus, before he goes into the Lord's Prayer, he says, look, don't use a lot of repetition when you pray. And don't just keep, you know, if you say the same thing over and over, that it's going to happen. You know, let me just clarify. By saying the Lord's Prayer, and excuse my, like, oxymoron of terms, but this is not like a magic prayer. Like, if I say this, I will get whatever I want. It's a blueprint of sorts. It's the spirit of and behind the prayer that I believe the Lord wants us to catch. The first half of this prayer, from like verses 9 to actually just through 10, is very God-focused. And then next week, we'll go into the more mankind-focused part of the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. And if you were here 2 weeks ago, Merle started out the series by focusing on our Father who art in heaven. He's not our big scary person that I have no access to, our mean judge, our Father. Like, if we emphasize Father, he's our Father. And then last week, Catherine talked about prayer as worship. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed's not a word we hear a lot much these days, but it means holy, set apart. And maybe my daughter will understand this now years later, but when our kids were growing up, and this was just Merle and I, we did not want them saying, "Oh God," because it's not hallowing God's name. So we'd say, you can say, "Oh gosh," or "Oh my goodness," but do not say, "Oh God," because it's not hallowing the name of God. So that was week one and week two, and both of those messages are out on our website, www.gcch.org, if you'd like to listen to those. And today, we're going to focus on verse 10, which is the last part of this segment that's focused on God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And we're going to talk about prayer as alignment. And I had somebody ask me this week, what does alignment mean? Alignment is an arrangement in which two or more things are running parallel to each other or in a straight line. And there's ease and there's smoothness when things are aligned. I often think of like your tires being aligned. We go in to the mechanic and we get our tires aligned. When your tires aren't aligned, they're not like totally straight when you're driving, and so one might be this way, and it actually is bad for the wear and tear of your tires and for your car. But when your tires are aligned, your car, hopefully, runs smooth and with ease. And so it is with prayer. We want our hearts and our requests to be aligned with God, to be running straight and in a parallel line with the heart of God and the will of God. So listen to the prayers of these children and decide for yourselves if they're lined up with God's heart or not. Lord, if you don't make me a better person, don't worry about it. I'm having a real good time like I am. Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel wouldn't kill each other so much, which I just love that, like they just keep killing each other. Maybe Cain and Abel wouldn't kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works for me and my brother. Dear God, please change the taste of asparagus. It's gross. Thanks. And last but not least, dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. How many of us can relate to that last line? Dear God, thank you for, but what I prayed for was, or actually we don't even say thank you for. We say, God, what I prayed for was, what I had asked you for was. So, how do we bring our prayers into alignment with what's on God's heart? So we're going to take a look at these two short phrases of the Lord's Prayer, dig in a little bit deeper while we have some time this morning and see what the Lord reveals to us. So let's pray. God, we do come to you as Father. Thank you that right now you are here as our dad. You just want to teach us as a dad pours into his children. I thank you that you want to pour into us right now. Your name is holy. You are a holy God. Lord, make us holy as you are holy. And Father, I just pray that this morning your kingdom would come and your will would be done. Teach us, Lord. Teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's start with thy kingdom come. What does that mean? Thy kingdom come. Well, in one sense, it can mean the literal second coming of Jesus. Like, Lord, let your kingdom come. You know, which is great. But let's be careful that we're not like missing what God's doing right now because we're just like, Jesus, just come back. Like, we're going to miss out on a whole lot of how God still wants to use us and move if we're just like, Jesus, just come back tomorrow. You know, things are rough. There are some really, I mean, I read things and I think, are you serious, Lord? But I'm not going to pray like, hurry up and come. So praying thy kingdom come can literally mean like, Lord, come back. Like, I just pray for the day of you establishing your kingdom here on earth. And he will. He will. In Daniel 7:14, as Daniel was prophesying into the future end times, Daniel says he, meaning Jesus, was given authority to rule and glory and a kingdom so that those of every people, nation, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And all throughout Revelation, especially if you go to Revelation 21, you can read about Jesus coming again and establishing his kingdom. So in one sense, that very much is thy kingdom come. But in a very more practical sense, if we really desire for God's kingdom to be set up permanently in a future time, then it seems to be common sense for us to pray that his kingdom, his reign, be in and over our country, our state, our town, and in us individually, starting right now. In us individually, starting right now. It's actually a little bit foolish of me to ask for God's kingdom to be established in a large scale if I'm not asking for his kingdom to be established in me first, in a smaller scale. And when I speak of God's kingdom in me, I'm speaking of like the manifestation of all that he is, his traits, his wisdom, his character, his heart, his presence, his peace, that all of those things would be brought into and reflected in each area and each situation that I find myself in. Colossians 1:22 says that Christ is in me. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. 1 Corinthians 3:16 tells me that I am God's temple and the Spirit of God lives in me. The Spirit of God lives in you. Galatians 2:20 tells me that it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in you. So if you are here this morning and you are a believer in Jesus, Christ lives in you. And when we are aligned and going straight and parallel with him, then his kingdom can come in our lives, and then we take it into our workplaces, into our family relationships, into our schools, into our conversations. We get to be a part of his kingdom coming. But it needs to start with us individually. Thy kingdom come in me, Lord. All right, secondly, thy will be done. That is so easy to say. Way easier to say than to be done. Thy kingdom come. If we're going to get tweaked or challenged or hit a speed bump or maybe even a little ticked off or bothered by any part of the Lord's Prayer, this would probably be the point. Thy will be done. And I think that there are two major reasons why this part can be hard for us, and I believe that they're pretty closely related. First of all, if I'm being totally honest, I'm not going to speak for you, if I'm being totally honest, sometimes my unspoken prayer can be, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, my will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I'm just being honest. Thy kingdom come, my will be done. And secondly, many of us have felt like we have prayed God's heart on a situation. And we have felt like our prayers have either gone unanswered or they were answered, but not at all like we were hoping or believing for. Thanks for the baby brother, God, but what I prayed for was... But what I prayed for was, what in the world do we do with that? What do we do with that? Lord, I felt like I was praying your will. It's been about 3-4 years ago now, we had a couple in our small group. Husband got cancer. We prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and he passed away. Okay, what do I do with that? God, you are the God who heals. What do we do with things like that? This is a huge topic. It's a huge topic, and I know that I will not be able to cover it all here. In my preparation this week, honestly, like I felt like at times my head was going to explode because I just felt like there is so much here, and because I love to study the Word and to get into, well, what does that mean? And that I can't spend so much time, it was so frustrating for me. So I know that I'm not going to be able to touch everything on this topic. But I do want to address just a couple of points with the time that we do have. Okay, first of all, how do I know that my will is aligned with and in line with God's will? How do I know that my will is aligned with or in line with God's will? Well, anything that's clearly spelled out in Scripture will be along the lines of His will. A prayer for more love, for unity, for purity, to not gossip or slander, for my needs to be met. That's very scriptural. God doesn't say He'll give us our wants, but it does say He'll provide for all of our needs. If I pray for more self-control, if I pray for others to be saved, requests like those God will not turn down. You're never going to hear God say, actually, no, I would love for you to keep gossiping and slandering. I'm not going to answer that prayer. Actually, I don't want that person to be saved. Like, it's not going to happen. There are things that are very obvious in Scripture that we can pray along those lines. Beth Moore, who's a very well-known Bible teacher, she says, did God clearly promise in His word what you're asking for? Then do not shrink back. Or is there a precedent in Scripture for what you're asking for? Then keep telling Him what it is, asking Him if He would be glorified in your request, and if not, to remove or quiet your desire. So, there are some things that are very easy and very obvious to pray for. But what do we do when we feel like we are praying God's will in a situation? And either the prayer gets answered in a very different way than we were hoping or asking, or nothing seemingly changes. God seems very silent, and we feel like our prayers are hitting the wall. If you've walked with Jesus for more than probably 2 months, I guarantee you have had times where you felt like, are you out there? Because I'm hearing nothing. First, let me say that if you have prayed for something and seemingly you have, it's been consistent with Scripture, and to the best of your knowledge, you are praying the heart of God, and it has not come to pass, know that you are in good company. David, in the Old Testament, in 2 Samuel 12, he conceived a child out of wedlock, and this child got sick, and he begged and prayed and earnestly asked the Lord, fasted and prayed for God to heal this child, and the child dies. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 7, says he entreats the Lord. When you entreat somebody, it's not, dear Jesus, would you just... It means he asks earnestly, he begs and pleads. Like we have to read some emotion into, like Paul just wasn't saying, God, would you just like take this thorn in my flesh away from me? He is begging, Jesus, please take this thorn in my flesh away from me. And guess what? It didn't happen. And the most shocking of all, even Jesus himself. In Matthew 28, 39 says, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Does that sound familiar? Not my will, thy will be done. My Father, if it is possible. And I read that and I think, if it is possible? Are you kidding me? Of course it's possible. He's God. He could have like, boop. But he didn't. All three of these people did not get their prayers answered. And what do we do with scripture like John 15, 7 and John 14, 3, that basically says in red letters, these are Jesus's words. This isn't somebody saying, well, I think what he meant was, like, if I heard it right, they were red letters. And Jesus basically says, you can go back and read these for yourself, but he basically says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it for you. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Let me just say here that adding the name of Jesus, like saying in the name of Jesus to everything, doesn't automatically make you get your way. And these are the kind of verses that I wish we could just go into and study more, because some of you may be thinking, so what does it mean then? If I had more time, I would love to dig deep into that. But I just want to caution you that, you know, saying in Jesus' name doesn't mean, okay, I'll get my way now, because I said, in Jesus' name. Some of us, you know, we talk about having a prayer closet, but some of us, we act like it's a supply closet. I'll just go in, I'll take some of that, and God, I want that, and God, I want that, and then I'll just leave. Instead of a prayer closet, it's a supply closet or a pantry of sorts. The purpose of prayer isn't to get what I want when I want it. Do you know what that sounds like? A spoiled brat. The purpose of prayer is not to get what I want when I want it. We will never be people of prayer if we're only going to keep at it as long as we get our way. We will never be people of prayer if we're only going to keep at it as long as we get our way. So, then what is the purpose of prayer? Well, I don't feel like I can say it any better than the words of Oswald Chambers, which I've shared with you before. I have his devotional, My Utmost for His Highest. I've read it and reread it and read it backwards. And he gives a great explanation on the purpose of prayer. He says, prayer is not a normal part of the life of the natural man. We hear it said that a person's life will suffer if he doesn't pray, but I question that. what will suffer is the life of the Son of God in him, which is nourished not by food, but by prayer. When a person is born again from above, the life of the Son of God is born in him, and he can either starve or nourish that life. Prayer is the way that the life of God in us is nourished. Our common ideas regarding prayer are not found in the New Testament. We look upon prayer simply as a means of getting things for ourselves. But the biblical purpose of prayer is that we may get to know God himself. The biblical purpose of prayer is that we may get to know God himself. To say that, quote, prayer changes things is not as close to the truth as saying, quote, prayer changes me, and then I change things. God has established things so that prayer on the basis of redemption changes the way a person looks at things. Prayer is not a matter of changing things externally, but one of working miracles in a person's inner nature. The purpose of prayer is that we get to know God himself. It's not to change things externally, but to change us internally. And as we get to know God more and more, we'll find that our will is coming more and more into alignment with his will. And thus, our prayers are lining up more and more and more with his heart. We are being changed from glory to glory, more into his likeness, just as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18. So, let me give you my little creative acrostic way to hopefully help you remember. Here are just some simple things that I want to encourage you with, so that you can stay aligned with God as we pray. First of all, ask. Ask. Don't take, you know, this attitude of, oh, kind of Eeyore, oh, why bother? God's going to do whatever he wants to do anyway. Oh, woe is me. No, ask. Prayer does activate things in the spirit. All throughout Acts, we see multiple times, especially in Acts, we see instances of people praying and things happening. Paul and Silas were in prison. They praised and they prayed and they were released from prison. Paul again was in prison. Paul's in prison a lot. Paul again is in prison, and it says the church prayed fervently for Paul to be released. And then basically an angel comes and escorts him out. Prayer is effective. Pray. Ask. The Bible tells us to do so. We have got to enter into conversation with him if we want to know his heart and his will. We have got to enter into conversation. One commentator said, we will never live any bolder than we pray. I love that. We will never live any bolder than we pray. Ask. Secondly, listen. Listen. If I'm being honest, this is one of the harder ones for me to do. I'm good at talking, but it's really hard for me to just sit still and listen. But we have to make listening a part of our prayer life, or it will look more like a supply closet. And actually, I was thinking what it will look like is a fast food restaurant. Like, you go in, how many of you... You know, maybe there are some of you extroverts off the chart, but very rarely do you have an extended conversation with the person at McDonald's. Or the fact you usually come in and say, I'd like number two, no tomatoes, you know, extra large fry. Okay, $5.20, you give the money and you leave. Like, I don't want my prayer life to look like that with God, like a fast food restaurant. I'd like number two with a healing and provision and, okay, all right, thanks, God. And I walk out. I don't want that. We've got to spend time listening. Psalm 85:8, the psalmist says, I will listen to what the Lord, to what God the Lord says. And I love Ecclesiastes 5:1. It says, guard your steps as you go into the house of the Lord and draw near to listen. It doesn't say, and draw near to talk, and draw near to hear yourself talk and to get your needs met. It says, and draw near to Jesus to listen. God, I want that to be true in my life. I'm not there yet. Give the Lord some air time in your prayer time. That's tweetable. And I thought that up myself. And I'm not even on Twitter, but you are allowed to, when the service is over, you can tweet. Give the Lord some air time in your prayer time. Like, we talk. Okay, I can talk, but we've got to listen. It has got to be a two-way conversation. This allows us to hear his heart on the matter and to better know his will on the matter. Listen. A-L-I. Invite him to change you as you pray. Invite him to change you as you pray. And simply for this one, sometimes I just come before the Lord and I'm like, Lord, I've laid all this out before you, but if it isn't what you want, then change me. Change my desires. Honestly, Lord, I don't know if this is what you want. It's stirring in my heart. It's a huge desire of mine. I don't know if it is. So if it's not, change me. God doesn't destroy our wills. He transforms our wills. So when we come before him with prayer and we're like, Lord, I don't know if this is your will. He's not going to be like, that wasn't my will. How dare you? He doesn't just destroy it. He transforms our wills, like, very gently and usually pretty slowly. Sometimes he'll give a, you know, this isn't what I want, and you know that. But usually it's just a pretty slow transformation. G, give it time and grow deeper in God as you wait. Give it time and grow deeper in God as you wait. I mean, who doesn't love the immediate answers to prayer? If you love waiting a long time for answers to prayer, raise your hand, because I would love to applaud you. Okay, we all love the pray, and we love that. But often, maybe a lot, what happens is we plant the seed of prayer, and then there's all this time, and then there's the harvest of prayer. So there's seed, and there's time, and there's harvest. And so the question is, what do we find ourselves doing in this time part? I've prayed. I don't see the harvest. I'm in time. What am I doing? Am I whining? Am I complaining? Am I growing deeper in God? What character is coming out of me as I wait? You know, perhaps, I don't have any scriptural basis, or I just thought of this as I was studying this week. Perhaps that is the reason why in Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. Because as we keep on asking and we keep on seeking and we keep on knocking, we grow to know him more and know his heart. And that's what prayer is all about. Give it time and grow deeper in God as you wait. And lastly, N, get that, align, L-I-G-N, N, never doubt God's heart towards you. This point is crucial. Never doubt God's heart towards you. Never doubt God's heart towards you. We have got to believe that God is good and is always out for our good. We have got to believe that. Richard Foster, in his book, which is one of the challenges on your prayer card to read this book, I've not read the whole thing, I've just read parts of it, but in that book called Prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home, he says, frequently we hold so tightly to the good that we do know that we cannot receive the greater good that we do not know. Well, God, I mean, this is good, this is okay, and I'll make this work because, like, surely you couldn't give me anything better than this. Like, I know this probably isn't your will, but if I let go of this, like, I just doubt. No, we're holding on to the good that we do know instead of trusting that his heart is for you and there might be greater good and great and best out there for you. When we truly know God's heart for us, we will truly be able to pray about situations and then completely trust in his good will towards us, even if the answer to our prayers isn't what we hoped for. You know, part of me thought, well, I could just sum this up and say, look, the disciples asked, teach us to pray. He did. Like, that's what he taught you. He didn't say, when you feel like it, pray this. Like, he said, this is the prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Like, that's the truth. But we have to completely trust in his good will towards us, even if our prayers aren't answered in a way we hoped for. And sometimes, think about this for a while, sometimes prayers are answered when they're not answered. Sometimes prayers are answered when they're not answered. And there might come a day when you will look back and think, praise the dear Lord in heaven that I did not get my prayers answered. And even when our prayers are not answered in the way that we had hoped, God is still good. And he is always out to do us good. Align, ask. Listen, invite him to change you as you pray. Give it time and grow deeper in God as you wait. Never doubt God's heart towards you. Several years ago when our children were younger, we have, for those of you who don't know us, we have three boys and then our daughter, and we went through a phase of, you know, we started out where the boys were all in one room together. We called it the barracks because we had, you know, bunk beds set up. And then we kind of, you know, built another room downstairs, and so two of the boys were together, but every night there was fighting going on. And so we just started, Lord, wouldn't it be great if we could, like, just get a house that, like, each of the kids could have their own bedroom. I've shared some of the story before. So we looked for houses, and and I prayed, and I really felt like God was, like, releasing us to do that. And, you know, I remember, in the waiting, not being very attractive, I remember saying to Merle at one point, we will never get off this street. Like, we're stuck here. We'll never get off the street. And Merle said, I mean, we could leave anytime we wanted. I said, no, but we wouldn't be obedient to God, and he wouldn't let us off this street, and just whining. So we found this house, and the kids, like, came through it, and they all loved it. And I was really wrestling with, like, you know, Merle's more like, this is just how he and I are different. He's more like, let's just keep taking a step, and if it's not God, it'll stop. I'm more like, I need to hear a rhema word that God says, put a contract on this house, and then we'll step into it. So he's like, why don't we just try? And I was like, and the Lord gave me a really specific scripture about, it was the Message version of, I can't remember that. But it basically was saying, you need to go out on a limb sometimes. And I was like, okay. Like, that was pretty clear. Like, Lord, I'm going to step into this. So we stepped into it, and we put a contract on the house, and somebody came swooping in underneath us and got the house. I was so angry. I was like, Lord, I have prayed for this. Like, you told me you need to come out of your comfort zone and step in, step out on a limb. I did. Wow. That was a big disappointment. And honestly, so we just kind of put that, we just got to point like we're tired. We're tired of like, look, so we just built another bedroom downstairs and spread out the kids. And as time went on, I just thought, you know what? I don't think I can leave this street right now. I love these people around us, and there's hurting people that I'm developing relationships with. And God has changed my heart. Someday I do have a hope that we won't, it was our starter house, and 26 years later, we're still starting. So, it's okay if God doesn't give us another house, and I hope that he does sometimes, but in my praying, and I knew I heard God, and then I stepped out, and he didn't answer, and all of a sudden, I look back, and I think, wow, God has changed my heart. God has changed my heart. The meaning of this part of the Lord's Prayer really has taken on new meaning for me in this past week as I've done this simple little thing of emphasizing those two words. And in my prayer time, I've said, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. I have found myself in this past week or so heading into conversations or situations. And as I'm driving, I'm just saying, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I'm not quite sure what to do here. I'm a walker. I love to walk. And so one evening this week, I was kind of worked up about some things and really needing to see answer to prayer for some things that I haven't seen yet. And so I just went out on a walk and I lay my situation before the Lord and I was like, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I'm like, okay, and here's another thing, and thy kingdom come and thy. But you know what? What that was doing, it was proclaiming something over a situation. I could have just said, I could have kicked into Eeyore mode. Oh, bother. Like, this will never change. But I just thought, no, Lord, here's a need, and so I'm just going to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not only when you speak this does it proclaim a truth, but I think it brings incredible security to know that if his kingdom does come and his will is done, that is a home run. That is a home run. And when I don't understand or even like what his kingdom coming means in this situation, or what his will being done means, I have to lean on the promise that his grace will be sufficient. So, you just heard the lecture part, and now I just want to take a couple minutes and do the lab. So what we're going to do, Laura, you can come up now, but I don't want you to play right now. And some of this will make you a little awkward because you're uncomfortable in silence, but I'm stretching you a little bit. What I want us to do is I just want to take a couple minutes to pray. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to think of a situation or situations that you are in need of God moving, of God speaking, of God giving you direction. I want you to ask. It's okay to ask. Don't be shy or don't be like, oh, this is so embarrassing. Ask. I want you to listen. It's purposely why I'm not having piano music playing, because I can start thinking of, oh, she's playing that song I love, and then I forget what I asked for. So I just want you to listen. I want you to invite God to change you. and to grow you deeper as you wait for an answer. And then declare that you will not doubt his heart towards you, no matter how the prayer gets answered. So we're just going to take a couple minutes, and I will end the time here shortly. Can we all stand? God, you've heard the cry of every heart here this morning. And nothing overwhelms you, and nothing is impossible for you. So God, all the pleas, the requests, the questions, the desires that you've heard come out of this room today, Father, I just speak, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Because Lord, that's ultimately what we want. Our flesh does cry out for our own ways and our own desires, but we, in the depth of our being, want your kingdom to come and your will to be done. Could I get the ministry team to come up right now? We're going to close, but there are a team of people up here who have a gift of praying for others and love to pray for others. And so at this point, you are free to go and enjoy the rest of your Sunday, or to sign up to be a volunteer to help with the meal next week. But you are free to come up for prayer. You know, maybe you just need some more, God, I just need a little bit extra help here that I can really believe I want your kingdom to come and your will to be done. Please avail yourself to those up here who will pray with you. If you don't want to come up for prayer, you are incredibly blessed this week. I pray that you are incredibly blessed, that you would know the Father who is in heaven, that you would experience the holiness of his name, and that you would see his kingdom come and his will being done in your life this week. In Jesus' name, amen. You're free to go. You're free to come up for prayer. Have a great rest of your weekend.